darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And of course, once again, while it is not the illustrious Abraham Hamilton III, it is your humble servant, E.W. Jackson. And it's great to be with you as always. Thank you all so much for your support for this wonderful network. And thank you for your support for these tremendous hosts who continue to bring you truth. And I can tell you that it's a privilege and an honor to do so. And I just thank God for the opportunity. Thank God for American Family Radio and for the entire constellation of American Family Association organizations and related ministries and projects. Well, quite a day yesterday in California. We still don't know the outcome. That's part of the problem with California because the voting seems to go on until they win. Because any ballot postmarked by yesterday will be counted. And I think there are 7 days to count those ballots after they come in, if I'm not mistaken. That's the way it goes. I mean, so this can go on in perpetuity in effect. I says, this is like Mayor Daley. You know, we count the votes until we win. So I don't know what the ultimate outcome of these races is going to be. But I do know this, that we're not merely up against a set of bad ideas. We're up against a set of very bad people. People for whom power is everything. And people who will do anything to get it and anything to keep it. That's what Spencer Pratt is up against. That is what any candidate running against one of these Democrats is up against, because we have standards and we cannot violate those standards because we know that we're answerable ultimately to Almighty God. And, you know, I've said when I've run for office in the past, I said, if I could cheat and win, I wouldn't do it. Because ultimately, I'm answerable to God for my integrity. And while I certainly want to win, but I want to win honorably, I would rather lose than win dishonorably. And, you know, they could call that foolish, but I call that having my eyes on eternity, not just on this life. But you see, the folks that we are up against don't think that way. For them, this life is all there is. And getting everything they can steal, deceive, cheat to obtain, they will get. And it doesn't matter how many people have to suffer in order for them to get what they want. It doesn't matter how many houses have to be burned down. Doesn't matter how many people have to be murdered in the streets by illegal aliens or by criminals. It doesn't matter how horrendous the crimes and the situations have to be. I'm sure you saw recently this woman in Atlanta. This guy just rose up, stabbed her in the throat, killed her. Killed this elderly woman. I mean, for nothing. No reason. And by the way, once again, one of these people who had a long track record of crimes and assaults and things that he had done against people. But there he was on the train. Another one of these public transportation murders. How many of those have we seen? I can think of three off the top of my head. A kid shot to death riding the subway in Chicago. That young lady down in Charlotte who was murdered on what was, I think she was on a train. And now this, probably many, if you count the subways, I mean, there are a lot more if you count the subway attacks. You know, people pushed down, the old man pushed down the steps in the subway. And all of these, not a single one of these attacks is the result of being unexpectedly assailed by some person who had no criminal background or record. Every single one of these people could have been locked up, either for mental illness or crime or combination thereof. But they weren't. Because you see, they're communicating something to their constituency by doing this, which is, we want the radical, the socialists, the godless, the atheists, the secularists, we want the sexual deviants, we want the criminal class, we want the illegal aliens, we want the Islamists, we want everybody to know that we will do anything for you as long as you will do anything for us. I mean, that's the message that they are sending. We will justify you, we will support you, we will back you. And as I've said before, the only unacceptable behavior is don't threaten our power. Don't do anything to potentially undermine our power. And by the way, that bar is getting lower and lower and lower and lower. Because with Graham Plattner and this guy who just got elected in New Jersey, who apparently consorted with the blind sheikh and is involved with nonprofits that actually had ties to Al-Qaeda and apparently said some things about 9-1-1 early on. I mean, but he's been elected and is likely on his way to Congress. That's really what I want to talk to you about today. I want to get your take. You know, I was talking to a colleague in preparation, actually it was a panel of us, in preparation for a conference that we're doing next week, talking essentially about the future of the country and what is it going to take to turn America completely around. And this colleague said, you know, let us not forget that we have experienced some tremendous victories. And I mean, that is absolutely true. We really have. To be fair, those victories have overwhelmingly come through the Trump administration. He's been the source of most of them. Even some of the court cases we have won recently. He didn't have anything to do with this. We won one here in Virginia against this lying referendum that they put on the ballot, and won by spending $65 million or somewhere in there and lying to the people of Virginia, and had the court strike it down because A, it was a lie. It was, they said, that the court said you intentionally misled people, and B, the whole procedure was in violation of the Constitution of Virginia. But again, did they care? Nope. Willing to spend all of that money, and I'm glad they spent it and glad it went down the drain, willing to spend all that money to lie to people. And you have to know that they were thinking some dumb judge, one of our cult members, will rubber stamp it. They're not going to look to what the Constitution says. They're not going to care whether we obey the law. And thank God they were wrong. So not only a district court judge, but then the Virginia Supreme Court struck it down. I mean, there's nowhere for them to go. The Supreme Court's not going to uphold that nonsense. You know, we are a nation of laws. And if they had followed the law, frankly, I'm glad they didn't in this case, because had they followed the law, they probably would have gotten the thing through, assuming they could have won the vote following the law, but they didn't. They didn't follow the law. But again, it makes the point. They don't care about the law. They don't care about standards. They don't care about the Constitution, Virginia's or America's. What they care about is whatever it takes to get and keep power. Now, but it's true. We've won some great victories. I want you to contemplate, because what we were talking about was, what do we do to motivate Christians particularly, to vote like their lives depend on it? And we're not talking about, you know, vote Republican, vote Democrat. We're talking about vote your Christian principles. And I think that's going to lead you to one place for the most part, probably 99.9999% of the time, because sadly, the Democrat Party has become so totally reprobate, I don't know that there's a candidate in America that is worthy of a Christian's vote. But we're encouraging, get out and get involved in the process, get engaged. Don't sit back. Now, one could debate which message is more likely to do that. The message that says, hey, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning a lot, and we are. Or a message that says, well, we might be winning, but I tell you what, we've got some serious problems. I mean, some serious problems. And we do. And, you know, we ultimately decided, well, you know what? Both. Each of those is true. We've got some great victories that we've won, but we've got some serious problems to overcome. Thinking about serious problems, I want you to just think with me, imagine with me for a moment. Three candidates running right now, Tallarico down in Texas, James Tallarico, the crazy man. I mean, some of the stuff that he said, we don't even know about. I mean, did you know that in addition to saying God is non-binary and the Bible doesn't say anything about abortion? Well, here's somebody who's clearly never read the Bible. He also says, I mean, definitively, and I hear echoes of Barack Obama, America's not a Christian nation. America's not a Christian nation. Well, I beg to differ. America is and always has been a Christian nation. Now, we don't have an official religion. That is true. But that doesn't mean that culturally we're not Christian. Well, we're not Hindu. We're not Buddhist. We're not. This guy's trying to say, no, we are. We're atheists. We're Muslims. We're Buddhists. And this guy claims to be a Christian. He's got about as much affection for Christianity as a rat does for a rat trap. Because he has nothing to say about Christianity. Everything he says about it is a lie. What he does say about it is a lie. But he's got nothing to say in defense of what Christianity has done for this nation, because I really believe that Christianity is the primary reason why we have become the most wealthy, powerful, successful, and free nation in the history of mankind. That's not luck. That's the blessing of Almighty God. And that blessing is because of the root. The fruit's not always good, but if the root is good, the fruit will most of the time be good. If the root is poison, the fruit is poison. And praise God, we've got a good, healthy root. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, meaning that we are made, not evolved, and endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights, meaning that our liberty, our rights, our freedom come from God, and therefore we are ultimately accountable to Him, not to government. Ultimately, we certainly owe the government respect. We should obey the law, no question about that. But we are ultimately accountable to Almighty God for our liberty and our rights. He is the grantor. We are the grantees. He is the one we look to, not the government. Now, that root is beautiful and undeniable. And that's why we've been blessed. Not because we've done everything right. Our Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. So I've pointed out, it doesn't say perfection exalts a nation. It says righteousness does. And righteousness comes from God. And we can engage in righteousness even though we're not perfect. God has honored that. And that's why we are the exceptional nation. But I want to ask you a question about the future of this country when we come back. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Stand by. Back in just a moment.
Okay, here's an assignment for you, if you will. I want you to take some time and think about a getaway that gives you a chance to get together with other people of faith, deepen your walk with God, and make new friends, all while enjoying the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. I'm talking about joining AFA at the Ark, October 29th and 30th. This is a great opportunity to break away from the grind of everyday life and draw closer to God through special presentations from Patricia Engler and Brian Osborne of Answers in Genesis. It also includes entrance to the Creation Museum on Thursday and the Ark Encounter on Friday. Friday's dinner includes a panel discussion with Tony Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Wesley Wildman, Vice Presidents of American Family Association. This is an event that can fill up quickly, so hurry to afa.net/events to register for AFA at the Ark 2026. afa.net/events, and we'll see you at the Ark.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Bishop E.W. Jackson in with you tonight in behalf of Abraham Hamilton III. Great to be with you. I'm going to start taking questions in the next segment, but I want to put this question to you. And of course, you can answer this and bring up anything you want to bring up during the question, during the comment section of the program. Three candidates right now, one in Texas, one in Maine, and one in New Jersey. Now, many others, frankly, like them running for office. Karen Bass in California, who, if you ask me what's going to happen, I think she's going to be reelected mayor. Because, again, I think the cult will do whatever needs to be done in order to make sure that that happens. Although I think that Spencer Platt is going to, I think he's going to shake things up out there. But I don't think he's going to win. I hope I'm wrong, folks. I hope I am wrong. And look, you know what? And if I'm wrong, it'll be by the grace of God. Because that machine out there, you see how many more votes she got than he did? And then the other candidates got about 20% of the votes, at least the last time I looked. Well, those two candidates, both of them leftists, that they carried close to 60% of the vote. When if Spencer, in fact ends up going up against Karen Bass, do you think he has any chance of winning majority of votes in that area, in L.A.? I think so. People are so blinded; it's unlikely. But think of—I've often said when you see something really heinous, something really crazy happening, I've often said, that's what they want for America. And by way of motivating our Christian friends and family and colleagues and neighbors, and we've got to let them know that there is a dark dystopian vision for this country that is at work, and they are never going to stop working it until we absolutely put the ideas in the dustbin of human history. Not the people, the ideas, in the dustbin of human history. What would it be like if these three people ran our country? James Tallarico, running in the second largest state in the country, and they say it's going to be a competitive race. Folks, again, I hope I'm wrong, but people are saying that Ken Paxton has such baggage that the monumentally idiotic James Tallarico is actually going to give him a run for his money, likely to be the most expensive race in the upcoming election. James Tallarico, who believes that God is non-binary. James Tallarico, who believes that God would have been just, it would have been fine with him if Mary had just chosen to have an abortion. James Tallarico, who believes the Bible doesn't say anything about abortion or homosexuality. Again, have you ever read it? Have you ever read Romans chapter 1? Have you ever read, I think it was 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 6, verse, I think it's verse 10? I mean, But, oh, no, the Bible doesn't mention anything about abortion. Have you ever read Deuteronomy 30:19? I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your descendants or you and your seed may live. You ever read Psalm 139? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knew you when you were curiously wrought in your mother's womb. In effect, paraphrasing a little bit, but that's essentially what it says. I mean, so basically he just lies about Christianity, lies about God. And this one, America's not a Christian nation. You know, again, echoes of Barack Obama. I mean, does he not know that most states, most of the 13 colonies had a religious test? Now, we could got rid of those, but we're not arguing whether that's the best thing. The Constitution wasn't written then, whether that's the best thing for our culture to practice. But whether we are a Christian culture is absolutely undeniable, because they actually had religious tests that required that you confess your Christianity or your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a qualification for office. I mean, we're not Hindu, we're not Buddhist, we're not atheist. I mean, what? Imagine if he were running the country along with, of course, Graham Platner, the guy with the not just the Nazi, but the SS tattoo on his chest, representing the death camps, the gas chambers, the genocidal activity that in an attempt to completely wipe Jews off the face of the earth. And the guy who was apparently sexting to a bunch of women explicit messages while married. The guy who apparently denigrated a wounded, a Purple Heart winner, because the man was wounded in battle and said he was stupid and he should have gotten killed. I mean, the man who's apparently said anti-Semitic, anti-black, and you name it. But not a single Democrat, just like Jay Jones here in Virginia, who wanted to see Todd Gilbert dead and his children die in their mother's arms, he got elected. You know what I predict? I predict that Graham Platner is going to get elected. We're going to have in the U.S. Senate one of the most evil figures. I mean, and elected by people, by the way, who keep telling us that President Trump is a Nazi. But here's a guy who actually has said things and done things to demonstrate an affinity for Nazism, but he's okay. Imagine if he were running the country. Him and Tallarico, and then this guy who you haven't heard much about because he just won the nomination for his district in New Jersey. But this guy, Representative Bonnie, replacing Representative Bonnie Watson Coleman, Adam Hamawi, I think is his name, who apparently was cavorting with Al-Qaeda-linked nonprofits and was a friend and perhaps even a consort of the blind sheikh who was responsible for the first World Trade Center bombing. And this guy has just been nominated by the Democrat Party. Now imagine if these people, an Islamist, a sexual deviant, or somebody who's clearly sexually confused, and essentially a confessed Nazi. That's what the Democrat Party's delivering up for us. Imagine them running the country. And while I would say, yeah, thank God there are some wonderful things happening in our country and we should not be in despair, I would say this, but we better not take anything for granted either. We had better be vigilant. Because, folks, that's who they give us. That's who they will give us if we allowed it to happen. They will give us the AOCs of the world. They will give us the Ilhan Omars of the world. They will give us the Talita Rashids of the world. And what would happen to America if these people actually got their way? Well, first of all, I'll tell you something, folks, and I don't believe I'm exaggerating at all. I believe that America would be a totalitarian nation and we'd have to fight our way out of it. I'm telling you, I don't mean to be alarmist, but I believe if people like this had their way, we would become a totalitarian nation. We'd have to fight our way out of it. Because I don't think they have any respect for freedom of speech except for their own. I don't think they have any respect for freedom of religion, unless your religion is like Tallarico's, which is some kind of made-up god you come up with that goes along with whatever sick stuff you want to do. Oh, then that's fine. But the God of the Bible, a biblical worldview that takes God seriously and takes his word seriously? Oh, no. We can't have that. Because that's too much like right. And we don't want what's right. We want our way. Now, imagine that in this upcoming election, I could pick out three candidates like that who are not just a little bit bad or not just, well, you know, I wouldn't prefer them. They're horrendous. They're monstrous. And there's that's just three I'm picking out because they've gotten the most news. Don't you better believe there are a whole bunch more waiting in the wings because they're producing a whole crop of them. And if we Christians lay back and don't get fully engaged and fully involved and stand up for God and stand up for our country and stand up for our Constitution and stand up for Judeo-Christian values, I don't care how many victories we feel like we've won right now, they'll all be lost. Because they'll come in and sweep. Yeah, do you remember? How many of you, I'm sure most of you know, 26 states, I think more than that maybe, closer to 30, passed constitutional amendments that declared marriage to be only a union between one man and one woman as a matter of state constitutional law, and the Supreme Court wiped it out in one fell swoop. One fell swoop. A stroke of the pen, and all that work, all that money, all that energy, and that was done by the grassroots, by the way, not a bunch of paid protesters, but grassroots people standing up for what they believe to be right. And that's exactly what they'd like to do for every wrong, boneheaded, weird, depraved thing that they want to do. That's exactly what they like to do. Sweep us aside with a stroke of the pen. And the only way we're going to stop them from doing that is with a stroke of the ballot. Of course, prayer and seeking God's intervention. Don't get me wrong, because without that, we're not going to win anyway, because we can't beat Satan on his own terms. We beat him on God's terms, because God's already defeated him. Jesus already defeated him. We try to fight on his terms. He wins, because his terms are all fleshly and all earthly and all. And Jesus said the flesh profits nothing, but his words are spirit and they are life. And remember, the Bible says in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things were made by him, without him not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take letting our light shine and being absolutely willing to, at any moment, to speak the truth of the Word of God, whether people like it or not. Don't bring the Bible up. That's not fair. I used to hear that. Anything else you can bring up, but don't bring up the Bible. Why not? Since when did the Bible become off limits, illegal? You can't use the Bible in polite company. Really? You got here the whole party telling each other, let's drop more F-bombs. Let's use that word as much as we can. That will really allow us to relate to people. But you bring up the Bible. Wait a minute. You can't do that. Oh, I see. So you can be as profane as you want to be. But when I strike a note of holiness, somehow that's off limits. Well, that's the kind of world they want us to live in. By the way, folks, that's what communist China is like. That's what North Korea is like. That's what Vietnam is like. That's what a whole bunch of countries, that's what Cuba's like. Anything but God. And our attitude has got to be nothing but God. And if we will take that approach and stay fully engaged and involved, we're going to look back on the day, folks, and we're going to look at some of this crazy stuff these people are doing and thinking and saying and say, did people actually buy into that? And we will answer, well, you know, actually they did, but praise God they were awakened. And they don't buy into it anymore. You mean to tell me we used to actually kill unborn babies and celebrate it? Yes, there were people who did. But praise God, we're not doing that anymore. And there were actually people operating on kids and cutting off their private parts and girls' breasts and telling them this was necessary for their well-being? Yes, people actually did that. But we're not doing that anymore. We've been awakened from that evil. And we have now discarded that. And we look back on that era with utter shock that people could be that deceived. But we're not going to allow our countrymen to ever be deceived that way again. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. The number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Coming back to take your calls.
Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Let me throw in one other thing, and then I want to come to the calls. This young man, Henry Nowak, who was murdered in Great Britain, stabbed to death by, I don't know whether this guy was an illegal alien, certainly not native British. And when the police arrived and the young man is there dying, bleeding to death in the street, he had been stabbed 4 or 5 times. And he says to the police, "I've been stabbed." And one of the police officers says, "I don't think so, mate." Didn't check the young man's vitals, didn't check to see whether he was bleeding. Just the assumption is a confrontation. The guy who stabbed him said that he had engaged in some kind of racial rhetoric of some kind. But the guy who claimed that wasn't stabbed. He wasn't shot. He wasn't even bruised. I don't know. We don't know what the guy said. I doubt that he said anything. But even if he did, you don't get to stab him to death because he said something that you don't like, no matter how insulting it might be. It doesn't work that way. And the police are in trouble now because apparently they've been imbued with this Marxist socialist idea. I said this is the adaptation of Marxism, which is primarily based on class, but they have added race to it. So now if you are white, and particularly if you are a white male, you are essentially persona non grata. And whatever happens to you, you really kind of deserve it. Now, by the way, that's that particularly, unless you can prove that you are a leftist elitist who is down with the struggle, then maybe you get a break. But it'd be ideal if you put on a dress. Then we really know that you're down with the struggle. Put on a dress and makeup and paint your nails and all that, and put on a wig and tell everybody that you're really a girl and you got it made in the shade. You know, but you know, ultimately, don't be fooled. It's really not about the race of the person. Ultimately, it's about whether this person helps us gain power or this person is an obstruction. And right now, as a general class, they have decided that in general, white males are obstructions unless proven otherwise. This is what they want to bring to our country, folks. And not, we have some of it now, but this is where they're going. By this time, this happened 3 months ago, I think, but this time the whole country had erupted in violence over George Floyd. Nobody erupted in violence over Henry Nowak because, after all, young white guy, who cares? Well, I'll tell you who cares. God cares. And every single one of us ought to care and be affirming each other as fellow human beings, not separating and denigrating people because either they're light skin, dark skin, or anywhere in between. But that's the world the left wants us to live in. 888-589-8840. And we have got to stop them in the name of Jesus. Let's go to John in Iowa. John, welcome.
Hello, Bishop. I have a comment and then a question. A question. It regards personal salvation. I always consider myself to be a Christian because I believed everything in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 22 years old, the Lord spoke to me, and I submitted my life to Him, and I was no longer wanted to be my own boss, but I wanted Him to be my boss and to be my Lord. And at that time, my life was changed, and I became a real Christian. Mm-hmm. And when the verses in the Bible say about believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and to be a Christian, it seems a bit strange to me, because to be a real Christian, we need to be thinking about counting on the redemptive ministry of Christ. And my question is, now, for example, George Washington was always talking about providence and winning the war and fighting. And do you think that he was a deist? And will we see George Washington in heaven?
All right, John, fine. We got to that question. Thank you very much for the call, my friend. Well, first of all, let me just address this issue of belief. When the Bible talks about belief, the word there is a Greek word that means to be fully persuaded. Pistis, to be fully persuaded. In other words, the whole heart, soul, and mind. It is not a word of intellectual assent. Do you believe Jesus is Lord? Do you believe the Bible? Yeah, I believe it. That's an academic answer. When you truly believe it, it means, if He is indeed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you believe it to surrendering your entire life to His Lordship. And if you haven't done that, I don't care what you claim to believe, you're not saved. That's what belief really means. Remember, Judas walked with Him for 3 years and wound up in hell. Assented all that time, but wound up in hell. And Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And He said, depart from me. I never knew you. So that's the first thing. Yes, George Washington is in heaven, because I'm telling you, I've read enough about George Washington to be absolutely convinced that he was not a deist, that George Washington actually put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that George Washington is saved. And I won't go through the history, but I, in fact, you know, my truth tour, which is starting on June the 18th at Nutramax down in South Carolina, that's closed to the public, but I'll be doing an event on June the 19th in Matthews, North Carolina at Joy Church there. I'm going to be talking about facts about American history that you were never taught, or maybe that you were mistaught. Thank you for the call, my friend. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to Larry in North Carolina. Larry, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. I appreciate you taking my call. Listen, I had spoken with you and Jeff Shreve a while back and told you about my family story, which was a medical kidnapping story. It's epidemic in this country. We've got our Title IV-E funds coming out of Social Security, and it's going down to the local governments. You've got child abuse pediatricians who are taking kids, declaring the kids were abused, when actually the kids are medically fragile. And this happened to my granddaughter over 4 years ago. And they took her from the family when she was 4 months old, a medically fragile child, saying that she had been abused. Well, all the charges have been dropped in the case. Nobody has been found guilty of anything. And yet the courts are still holding on to that granddaughter. So this is something that needs to be looked into. And when I spoke with you on the Shreve program, you mentioned that you were going to look into it. And I'm just curious if that's something that you've had the opportunity to look into.
Well, I'm glad. Thank you so much for the call. I since the call, I don't, to tell you the truth, don't really recall it, but I haven't looked into it. But I can tell you this, it doesn't surprise me, because when I was practicing law, I found many parents came to me because their children were basically, the government was threatening them with taking their children because for some reason somebody had reported something, and often that something that was reported was nothing more than forcing their children to go to church. And folks, I'm not exaggerating. I am not exaggerating. In Massachusetts, this was 35 years ago. In Massachusetts, if you were forcing your children to go, as a parent, requiring your children to go to church, that was prima facie evidence that you were abusing your children. And then you had to disprove it. You had to prove, no, I'm really not abusing my children. Well, why are you forcing me? I know. So this stuff has been going on for a long time. So it would not surprise me. Tell you what, though, send me an email, and you can send that email to, now let me see, let me give you the best address to send it to. Why don't you send it to stand@standinc.net, stand@standinc.net, and identify yourself as an AFR listener and put that question to me in writing, and then we'll take a look at it and see what we can find out. So forgive me that, I don't recall, and no, I didn't do any research on it, but it is not an issue with which I am unfamiliar. Thank you for the call, Larry. Now let's go to Richard in Mississippi. Richard, welcome. The number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. We got a little time, and we got a couple of open lines.
How welcome, are you, Richard. Jackson?
Hey.
Yeah, I've been listening for a long time, and I heard you mention a lot about James Calrico and the things that he said. And I've kind of got a thought process on why this man is going this path. I'm a millennial, about 41 years old, and I've gone through the process. I was raised in a Christian home, and I've my whole life that's what's been taught to me. But I went through the process of deconstructing my faith and then reconstructing it. But what I've kind of heard a lot of people say this, and I've noticed a lot with him, he said very specifically, Jesus didn't say, or Jesus didn't say this. It's not that he's listening to what the Bible says, but he's taking only specifics out of the Gospels where Jesus specifically spoke, and claiming that's where he gets his information from. And in that, what I had to come to this conclusion of, for myself at least, is that when you don't realize that the entire Bible, that every word in it is Jesus, that's him speaking to us in every way that there is, when you don't understand that and all you can take is the red letters, is the way they put it, and that be your entire prescription of everything, you completely lose the fact of the depth of Scripture, because you're starting to just feel that the only things that matter are the things that were said in the Gospels. And in that, you completely lose track of where you are. And I believe that's probably what's happening with this man, that he takes only the red letters and tries to base his entirety of Christianity off of that. And because of it, he's lost most of what could even be considered faith.
Richard, I'm almost out of time, but thank you so much for the call. I think you're absolutely right. But I would also add this. You know, people are always looking for a way to justify themselves. I mean, I think that that's the bottom line. You take what you like and you twist it and turn it and make it read what you want. You know, the Word of God says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty whereby men lie in wait to deceive. If our gospel be hid, it is hid from those who are lost. I think people lie in wait to deceive because they want to justify themselves and they want to justify the people with whom they agree, and they want the Bible to agree with them, and they just make it so. I think Tallarico is a little bit more diabolical than simply misled. But thank you for the call, my friend. Let's go to Steve.
Hi, guys.
And I believe Missouri. Steve, welcome.
Yes, and thank you very much for taking my call. I have been listening to people on the radio saying that they are frustrated with President Trump and actually think he's really goofing up by constantly or continually negotiating with Iran, okay? But we all want the Iranian people to be able to live free, including President Trump. But if we keep going in and bombing Iran, there won't, and if the Islamists finally leave, the Iranian people won't have anything left of a country. And I think that is what President Trump is thinking about and looking at and hoping and praying that they either come to a deal or the Islamists will pack up and go someplace else and let the Iranian people have their own government. And I think people need to quit being so critical of President Trump, because I don't think they understand what he's dealing with. They're not thinking about it. They're being too judgmental, and they should read Matthew, because we're
thank
told
you for the call, Steve. Thank you for the call. We're out of time, my friend. But look, I agree with you. I have some of those same feelings from time to time, but I really believe that President Trump has earned our trust. I believe that he's earned some latitude, and I'm going to give it to him. We'll see. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. We'll see how it all works out. But you're right. I'm not going to join the chorus of those who are dumping on the president. He's got enough of that as it is. That's going to do it for today, folks. Great to be with you as always. You know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.